The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I'm going to talk about the gift of uncertainty, which sounds like a bit of an oxymoron. There's a lot of uncertainty and turmoil in our world at the moment. I seem to say this every week, every time I talk. There's a lot of uncertainty and turmoil going on. It's still going on. In fact, there's always been turmoil and uncertainty. It seems like it's worse than ever, but it's always been this way. There's always been uncertainty. It's just that now it's more clear to us, it's closer to home for us here in America, you know. Because we've been kind of protected, actually, for a long time. And people in other parts of the world have much more uncertainty than we do. And the Buddha said, this is the way things are. There's nothing in this world that could be completely relied on. Everything is actually uncertain. Everything is subject to change. Sometimes things change for the better. Sometimes they seem like they change for the worse. But everything is in flux, uncertain, impermanent. Life is uncertain. We're fragile, vulnerable little beings. And because of this very fragility of life, we tend to live in fear. When you look at the animal realm, it's exactly the same, worse, much worse. Most animals are constantly on the alert for predators. Even predators are on the alert for bigger predators, and the big predators are on the alert for us, because we're the worst of all. We kill each other, so nobody is invulnerable. Everybody is vulnerable. There is no safe place for any of us in this world. We often try to create a safe place with financial security, loving relationships, sometimes with power and prestige. And we all do this. We just, you know, want to be safe, want to have a reasonable life, and that's perfectly fine. But none of these things is actually a permanent refuge, as we know. As great Master Dogen says, the kingdom of death must be entered by oneself alone, with nothing for company but our own good and bad karma. You kind of go, oop, you know, uncomfortable thought, but it's true. We can't take any of it with us. So why, you know, amass a lot of stuff? Uncertainty is not necessarily a bad thing. It can wake us up out of our complacency. Oh, you know, I can't just rely on my life and my everything and take everything for granted that we tootle on from day to day and everything's just fine. Something happens. There's nothing we can take for granted in this life. Everything comes and goes. Our views of the way things are, or the way things should be, get called into question, you know? Especially when people have different views. If we're wise, we'll look at those views and not just think, oh, they're just foolish, but think, maybe they have a point. Let's look at it. Maybe I'm not right about everything. You know, it can be helpful to be open-minded, hear other opinions, see other points of view. We don't have to be threatened by having somebody who has a different view from us. We don't have to live in fear of people who think differently or see differently. But to actually be open-minded and consider, maybe they have a point. Or at least they're trying to do their best, you know. On the more personal level, we all have times of uncertainty in our lives, and they may not always seem like a gift. We lose the people we love. We lose our life savings or our career, or some thing comes out of the blue, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen. All of a sudden, we have sickness, we have old age, if we're lucky. And eventually we die, as we know. And these things are really hard. And yet they can still help us. We can benefit from the uncertainty of life. We can learn to do without things we thought were essential. We can do things in different ways, live in different ways. We can feel grateful. We can be really grateful for what we still have. As we know, people who've lost a whole lot, lose their house, it's burned down or something, they're really grateful they still have their kids safe. We can feel sympathy for other people who have had great loss or who live in terrible, uncertain times, or who have never had anything to begin with to lose. We can feel sympathy for people when we lose something or when major change comes our way and things we took for granted are suddenly gone. As one of the richest nations in the world, we really have no idea of how many people live in this world, you know, what life's like, and that actually it's okay, you know. People live just fine in totally different ways with a whole lot less. For a great many people in our world, uncertainty doesn't seem to be much of a gift at all. It's just a terrible thing. Never knowing what one's next meal is going to be, or if you're going to have a next meal, or am I going to get shot by somebody before the end of the day? Are my kids going to get shot, you know? Can I take care of my family? Where am I going to be? None of us would wish this kind of uncertainty on anybody because it's terribly hard. And yet, as we sometimes hear, we often hear, it tends to be poorer people who are more generous and kind to others, more sympathetic to other people because they know what it's like. As the Buddha says in the scripture of the Buddha's last teachings, which we read the other night, someone who is contented, though poor, is rich. Someone who is discontented, though rich, is poor. It depends on our state of mind. If we think we always need more and more and more, we can never be happy. It's bottomless. But if we're contented with what we have, even if it's not a lot, we need nothing. We're free. It's liberating. Constantly worried about losing something or not getting more, you know, can never be peaceful. If you can practice acceptance of what life brings us and be content with what we have, then we can have peace of mind. Easy to say, hard to do. Impermanence and uncertainty. They point us to the deeper refuge. We can't keep taking refuge in the nicenesses, the things we have, because suddenly they're gone, or they might be gone. And when things are kind of stirred up, it wakes us up a bit and makes us look at things anew. And we can turn towards the deeper refuge, that which is not born, does not die, does not abandon us. That in which we can have confidence and faith. And that is the great blessing of impermanence, actually. Those three characteristics, you know, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, no permanent self or enduring entity in anything. Those three characteristics really help us. That's why the Buddha talked about them all the time. These are the way, you know, don't take refuge in these things, guys. Wake up, pay attention to that which is not unsatisfactory, liable to let us down, you know, constantly changing. And when things are in turmoil, whether in our own lives or in our world, we're encouraged to turn to that deeper refuge of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. We can sit still. We can sit still. The great blessing. Rav Mufti used to say, if you sit still long enough, eventually the earth stops shaking. She was in Japan, sat through earthquakes. She was not fond of earthquakes. She was not fond of thunderstorms. But she would sit like a rock when those things were going on. And eventually the earth stops shaking. Eventually the sky clears. And you continue your life. To sit still in the midst of turmoil, to sit still in the midst of the hard conditions of our lives, is to have faith in that which is beyond the ups and downs, beyond the gain and loss, praise and blame, safety and insecurity, all those things. To trust in that which does not shake. When things are out of balance, sitting still helps the balance to return. Not jumping on the other end of the scale, that just makes it worse. But sit still. If we feel we need to do something or say something, to do it from stillness, with kindness, not from fear and anger and righteousness, from stillness, compassion, seeing that all beings are together, one being, really. I keep saying this, I'm going to keep saying it. Today, we celebrate the Buddha's renunciation. He left his comfortable, fairly secure home, considering what it must have been like in those days. Not as secure as all that. They're always having wars with other nations and the like. But comparatively, comfortable, secure place in life. He left this for a life of uncertainty and poverty. He knew that they were not a true refuge, these comfortable circumstances. He had seen, you know, a sick man, an old man, a dead man, and a renunciate, somebody who had left, abandoned the world, who was seeking the truth. He knew that wealth, status, comparative comfort could not keep him from old age, sickness, and death, or keep any of us from that. And he wanted to find a way out. He wanted to find something that was beyond old age, sickness, and death. There has to be a way. There has to be an answer to this. He had no guarantee he'd find it. He could easily have just died of starvation and found nothing. And he almost did, actually. But he found his way, as we know. But this renunciation, this letting go of all that he had for this uncertain life, was a huge act of faith, a huge investment in something he did not know what. There had to be something more than just this round of birth and death. Well, even after his enlightenment, things weren't always certain. He was, you know, sometimes he wouldn't get fed. They would go hungry because people wouldn't think to give them food, or, you know, one time they were eating horse food because there wasn't anything else. Life must have been pretty hard anyway, physically, even when they were well taken care of. By our standards, it would have been pretty rough. He had all these problems of people, you know, slandering him, his cousin trying to kill him, and the, you know, wild elephants and all this. It was not an easy life. And, of course, he had the pains of old age and sickness, and he eventually died. But he had done what he needed to do. He was at peace. He had realized that which lies beyond birth and death, gain and loss. And he passed it on to millions of beings in later centuries. Well, what does this mean for us? We can practice renunciation. I think you had a really nice talk about it yesterday with Ramast Ando. We can relinquish our own clinging. We don't have to leave home unless we want to be a monk. But we can relinquish clinging to other things. We can recognize where we hold on to comfort or our ways of doing things, our views, our comfortable way of being in the world, our nice sense of me, our views about things, our assumptions about things, our assumptions about how the way things should be. And most of all, we can recognize our self-partiality. I love that expression. Self-partiality. It covers a whole realm of foolishness. our self-centeredness, me and my life, me at the center of everything. And we can begin to let go when we recognize it. When we don't recognize it, we're stuck with it. When you can recognize, oh, that's just me and my view. That's just me wanting something. That's me a little scared of another, you know, something I'm not sure about. Maybe I should just investigate or open the door here or accept the uncomfortable thing that's coming in. Our fears, our anxieties, to recognize them. They're about me, our ill will, our grasping. Yes, we have deep concern for other beings in this world. We have an even deeper concern for ourselves, actually. When we look at it closely, it's really mostly the case, you know. We want to help the whole world, and yet we do have an investment in me. And that's normal, but to recognize it and not let it guide our life at the expense of other beings, not to be constantly thinking of me versus everybody else, or my life versus all the rest of it. We can feel for other beings, truly feel for them, because we know that we're part of them, they're part of us. To look at our self-partiality and recognize it, not with judgment, but with compassion and not letting it pull us around. To live the life of faith, to sit still in the midst of all conditions, no matter what they may be. To trust in that which is beyond all the ups and downs, no matter what is going on. If we need to do something, if we need to say something, take action in some way to help somebody, to do what we can to help the world, by all means, to do it. But to do it from stillness. If we have to say something, to speak from stillness, not from judgment and ill will or righteousness, as I said, from stillness and kindness. We live in this world with all the other beings of this world, in no way separate from any of them, whether we like them or not. We're all one body, no matter what it may look like. We can live with kindness and compassion. We can live from stillness. We can consider other beings with kindness and compassion. We can do that. There is something we can do to help our world, to sit in stillness, to practice kindness. Easy in the moment, sometimes, really hard at other times. But if we can just wait a moment before we react or jump to judgment, just wait a moment. What's good to do here? What should I say to this person? How can I help? Never to underestimate the power of kindness, the power of stillness, and the merit of our simple training. That's it. Just, Rupa Master Khotan has been doing his lovely talks about an affirming, the one talk he did about an affirming flame. And he's been putting these things on his website, little links to things where there's people of different religions doing things together, helping each other. He calls it an affirming flame. I think that's lovely. An affirming flame. It just says it all. We would like to be an affirming flame, a light of brightness and warmth in a world that feels kind of dark sometimes. Never let that flame go out. It won't. Just to trust it and to live by it. Let it light our lives. And to see kindness, to practice kindness, and never to give up on people. Never give up on our world, never give up on anybody. Just to do our very best and trust in the great matter. Thank you.